There's Steve Dale's Pet World. And then there's Steve Dale's Other World.
Oh, yeah.
Right here on WGN Plus.
Steve Dale's Other World is typically something that we created to give me a platform and all of you an opportunity to listen to something that is sort of behind the curtain, that is involved sort of behind the scenes. We get behind the scenes. We're going behind the scenes on something really interesting today, and it isn't typically about pets in this podcast, but this one kind of is and kind of is not. It's really about heroes. And you'll hear what I'm talking about and understand that in a moment. We have in the studio a select group of people. Someone I know who has cared about companion animals for a very long time, our Chicago City Clerk, Susanna Mendoza. Andrew Hayes, the marketing director of Fifth Third Bank. He is the man with the money, apparently. And Ralph Mattson, who really is what it's all about. Today, representing an organization called War Dogs. And I'll start with you, Ralph. I want to hear your story.
It's rather long, but I went into the service in 1972, and I retired in 1993.
And you went into the service, were you in active duty?
Yes, I was active duty for 21 years.
In where?
Most of my time was in Norfolk, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Naval Amphibious Base here, special operations, special boat groups. That's where I mainly was at.
Did it include combat duty?
Yes, eventually.
Yeah, where at?
I went into Beirut from 1983, October 23rd of 83, to... when I got home from Israel on June 7 of 85, which wasn't really a pleasant place to be. It still isn't to this day.
You know, when I was talking about hero, I wasn't referring, no offense to Susanna or to Andrew, I was referring to you. Because our veterans who come back, who serve all of us, are heroes. Mm-hmm. And when you came back, did you come back as the same person that you left as?
No.
Tell me about that.
Well, when I was speaking with Andrew earlier, I was telling him, you know, you go into the military, you're a whole person. You're totally different. It's a whole different world. And they break you down, and then they build you up to their standards.
But that's not a bad thing in of itself. I mean, is it?
No, it teaches you a lot of self-discipline, self-respect, respect for others. It really opens your eyes to the world and what it's really like, because not everybody gets to see what we see in the military, to really experience the true feeling of what the world is all about.
Or at least in places at certain times.
Right.
You were at that time in at least one of those places. And you came back diagnosed with?
I came back diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and a few other illnesses that I won't get into.
Yeah, yeah. You have a special friend in your lap.
Yeah.
That friend is?
This is my service dog, Beef. He's
Beef?
Yeah, he's a Chinese pug.
Uh-huh.
I've had him for 4 years. He's 7 years old.
And Beef is a pug, which is interesting because you don't typically see pugs as service dogs. And I will tell you, when you walked into the lobby of the Tribune, all of these eyes were looking down. And then I heard comments, including one from you, Susanna, I wish I could pet that dog. I need to pet that dog. That dog needs to be petted. Susanna, you're the city clerk for Chicago. You are responsible for dog licensing, but how did you get involved in this sort of organization?
Well, obviously I love dogs, and a few years back, you'll recall our dear friend Judy Bart Topinka,
yes,
who was the comptroller of the state of Illinois, and she was an avid animal lover and did a ton of things to help get needy animals adopted into loving homes. And
she did, and she walked the walk herself. And I've got so many Judy Bartopinka stories, as anyone who knew Judy would have.
Yep.
And I've got, since you brought up her name, I've got to tell one or two of those. Once she was in the studio, not the studio, but the studio where we record our national radio show. And it was not an accident that I brought my dogs with me that day. I knew Judy was coming. And it's not that Judy needs any prompting to get her going for an interview.
Right.
I believe you can call Judy at 3 a.m. and she'd be on as can be and ready to do an interview. But nevertheless, the dogs were there. And I believe as we were about to start the interview, our smaller dog named Hazel, who I think you've met, actually, jumped into her lap. And she didn't want to let Hazel go. Hazel didn't want to go. And she spent the entire interview in the lap of Judy Bartopinka. And we have photo after photo after photo. And Judy, I don't know that I've ever talked to her and she wasn't smiling, but the smile was as broad as the room itself. And
sure,
another time was one of the first times I met her. We were at a benefit. I don't remember, except it was an animal welfare organization. I just don't remember which one. And all throughout, she was saying, there's this Cocker Spaniel. Maybe it was a Dachshund. Was it Dachshunds that she loved? Or
Scottish Terriers.
It was a Scotty. So it was a Scottish Terrier mix, probably, that the shelter had. And all throughout, from the very beginning when we got there, through dinner, through all of the people talking after dinner, I mean, it went, should I get this dog? Do you think I should get this dog? There's something wrong with this dog. I know there's something wrong with this dog. What do you think? Do you, it's how much money? How much money do you think? I mean, I have four dogs, or whatever she had at the time. Is that too much? She really wanted to rescue this dog. She cared passionately and walked the walk. And you do, too. So when you heard about War Dogs, what was it about this organization that you said, I've got to personally become involved?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly Judy and I did a lot of things together, right? As city clerk and in the comptroller's office, we merged efforts in trying to help animals. And the first event that I did, one of the first, I want to say, like official events that we did together was the Pets for Vets event. And Chuck Agopian, who works with me and also work with Judy, was really kind of like the spearheader of that effort, right? Coordinating it all for us. But we came together and we did this event in participation with our dear partner, Fifth Third Bank, and we're able to come up with some funds to unite war veterans with dogs that would the right fit for that veteran. I mean, how do you not get inspired by that, right? That's just so awesome to know that you're helping two universes that we absolutely love and respect, our animals, and of course, most importantly, our veterans. I mean, those are two such important groups that do so much for everyone, right? Because, like, animals bring a lot of love into our lives. And certainly, we wouldn't really have a good life if it weren't for our veterans. So it was a way to say thank you. And it was also a way to solve a problem of bringing together two groups that actually needed each other to be better together.
Yeah. Shelter dogs. Who would have thought of, you know, that here's a way to find homes for shelter dogs that otherwise wouldn't have homes. It's absolutely perfect, the idea. Now, tell me a little bit, if you can, Ralph, about War Dogs, what this organization is.
War Dogs is a program for combat veterans that have been diagnosed with PTSD, have traumatic brain injuries, seizure disorders, and military sexual traumas as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that when I retired in 1993, I didn't have a clue about this program. And 2011 is when I heard about it from a dear friend of mine that used to be the Department of Chaplains at North Chicago, Father Bill, we all called him. He introduced me to the program and gave me Alana Morgan's phone number. And it was kind of unusual. I didn't... kind of things with us with PTSD is we have apprehension to, to really be socialize and be out in public and do things. We have to like set our own schedules to get out when things aren't really busy and all. So I didn't even have the gumption to pick up the phone and call this lady.
Had you ever heard of the idea? I mean, today in 2015, I think some number of people know about service dogs in general, and that service dogs can help people with all sorts of wide variety of problems, including PTSD. Even 5 years ago, I'm not sure as many people did. Had you even heard of the idea?
No, what it is is what I've discovered over the years is mostly society's used to seeing people that are sighted with service dogs. They're not used to seeing people that have disabilities that aren't visible.
Yeah, in a story many years ago, I think one of the first to say they are invisible disabilities is what I called them.
Not all disabilities are visible. And so I ended up writing a one-page letter to Alana describing my family history, all my family history, my military background, what I did, what I'm doing, what I haven't been able to do, and everything. And I said I would do just about anything to have a service dog. And I sent her the letter. And then about the first week of February of 2011, I got a phone call. And when she told me who she was, I kind of broke down because I made a decision for myself to do this, which was very hard. And it's hard for any veteran like myself to make that decision.
Why?
Well, it's hard to, and you have to learn how to accept the things that are have happened to you. And, you know, when you go in and you're a different type of person. Like say yourself, for example, you're here as a radio personality, radio DJ and all that. And then God forbid something happened catastrophic to you to where you were disabled. That's a big change in anybody's life.
Sure.
And even though it's a commitment that we've made that's never been taken away from us because we still honor our oath, it was hard for me because trust and knowing when to ask for help. You have to learn to not have to live in the past. I had to learn the hard way. It's taken me over 20 some odd years to get where I am today to even just sit here and talk to you. And I had to learn that lost my thought.
That's okay, Ralph. By sitting here talking to me, I appreciate that. I don't take that for granted. You did get a service dog, and you had to have trust.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first dog?
The
dog you have now?
This dog here, Beef, is my first dog.
And did you develop that trust overnight?
No.
The thing about dogs, of course, is they don't know about your background or care.
They do the longer you have them, you know, even though he's not considered a pet. Which he's not by any means. He helps me when I have anxiety attacks, panic attacks. Just a few nights ago, I had a real bad nightmare, and I woke up screaming, and he was nudging me and resting his head on my side. And when I reached over and I felt him there, I felt secure. And the thing of it is, you're saving, it's a two-purpose thing here in War Dogs for us. One, the dog is saving we, the veteran, and two, we're saving the dog. And we're giving the dog our unconditional love for their help in helping us.
Where did you get Beef from?
Alana Morgan is the one that matched me up with Beef. He's from a rescue shelter, but I never really had a lot of information about him.
Mm-hmm. About how old was he when you got him?
About three years old.
And how old is he now?
Seven. It'll be 4 years for him in February. On my daughter's birthday, that's when I got him, which
nice.
Really makes it easy to remember.
Well, I'm sure Beef appreciates that.
Yeah, he does. He's really remarkable. He helped me when I took him to Soldier Field one time for Family Day. I started to have an issue, and he got me out of the issue.
How does he do that?
Well, I kind of, you know, people think I'm crazy by talking to my dog, but they learn and they react off of the endorphins of a human body.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to know your behaviors and your routine. He knows, like, for example, I'm diabetic, I take insulin. He knows when I take my insulin. He knows when I take my medications. He knows when it's time for me, when it's about time for me to go to bed. He'll remind me in the evenings for my medication if I happen to get wrapped up on the computer.
Sure. Well, you know, many dogs also serve as dogs for diabetics. So when
right.
someone's about to
yes.
have a crash, mm-hmm. Those dogs seem to know it. In fact, Ron Santo, this whole thing,
right.
the Ron and Vicky Santo Foundation
mm-hmm.
began in part because of radio that I did with Ron Santo.
Yeah, diabetic dogs are just now really becoming
so does Beef,
trained for type 1.
Does Beef also do that for you?
Well, he knows if I'm going high or low.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he reacts, he'll start licking his tongue like he was drinking water.
And you know that this means...
Right.
Wow.
And plus, I know from my own personal body signs. Plus, he's actually, I got a double benefit with him. Because I have three special needs children that have Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, which is one of the worst kind of epilepsies you can have, and he alerts to seizures as well. He can he'll alert me in the same way he alerts me if I were to get agitated or, you know,
so
have
before,
an issue with my diabetic. He's
before you got Beef, did
he's
you?
He's a hell of a dog. I'll just say.
Yeah. Well, really. Did you ever think a dog could do all of what you're saying? You now
no.
know it, but at that time, did you think it would be possible?
No. I learned a lot of it through war dogs. Actually, for being a 2-year program, I'm in my fourth year on a voluntary basis. And I'm also the veteran representative that does the intake interviews for any other veterans that want to apply for our program. Shh. And I really enjoy it. It's like secondary therapy for me. And
you mean to help other people?
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to?
Well, myself. You have to help yourself first before you can help others.
Yeah.
Even though I've always helped others, you know, there's just a point in time where you have to make a decision to help yourself. Like myself, I said to myself, I'm not getting any older. My mental health issues are going to become an issue down the road. So why not try this? And here I sit with one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Susanna, this is also... It's not only about individual stories like the one we just heard. Multiply that by the many, many veterans. But this is also public policy. So it's not only that you care about companion animals, I suspect, but as a public official, this should matter. If Ralph and veterans like him around the country times thousands need less medication... That's good for all the taxpayers who would otherwise be paying for that medication, right?
Oh, of course.
If Ralph and thousands like him are able to work part-time, full-time, and otherwise would not have, well, instead of pulling from society, then they're contributing to society mm-hmm. and on and on and on. It just seems to be. So the Veterans Administration, what was it, about 2 years ago, said we're not going to support PTSD right. dogs anymore, right? You're familiar with what I'm talking about. And to me, Susanna, that's ridiculous. just from a public policy perspective.
Being a government entity, that's their own way of controlling things.
I guess. What do you think?
Well, it's cutting your nose to spite your face, but, you know, what's new in government, right? So that's what I think.
You said it, not me. No, I mean,
it's
but
terrible.
Really.
It's terrible public policy. I mean, you just see the results of it right here.
Yes.
For every person you can keep out of an emergency room who's having an anxiety attack because a doc could stop it. I mean, just common sense. But unfortunately, and I say this as somebody who's in government, many of the policies that get promoted have little to do with any kind of common sense. And many of the cost-saving measures don't even make it to a discussion on a table. So it's unfortunate, but I guess everybody just has to do their part. And certainly I'm not going to wait for Springfield or Washington to get anything right, right? You got to do what you can that's within your control. And teaming up with great institutions, and I've said it every time I get the opportunity to talk about Fifth Third Bank, I do, because they're such great partners.
Well, you're
and
just about to make...
rather than me talk about it, you should be asking Andrew, because these guys are rock stars.
Yeah. You're about to, you're making the transition.
I just want to say thanks again, Andrew.
Well,
you guys have been amazing.
So, for life. No, thank you.
Well, so Andrew, why did a bank get involved in something like this? It's feel good for sure, but I suspect there's more to it.
Well, You heard the story today, right? I mean, how else? Why do you not get involved? It makes a difference in the lives of the people that you serve. We have an obligation to serve all the communities where our employees live and work. And this is an example of one way that we can easily get involved. We make a difference both for the veteran community, but also for the shelter community. We've got so many animals who just need a second chance and need a home. And you know, Steve, rescue animals are a different kind of animal, right? They are so appreciative.
Well, that's
forever grateful.
Yeah.
And the service that provides alone for pet owners or our veterans, I mean, it makes a world of difference.
And that's public policy, Susanna, too, isn't it? Because the fewer animals that are euthanized, people like Andrew and I and you too, I mean, we're happy
sure.
about that, but for the humane reasons, it's right that they're not. But also there's a cost,
real dollars and cents cost.
We don't
want them ending up in our shelters, right, which is what we see, our animal care and control facilities, and having to euthanize 20,000 dogs and what it takes to keep an animal fed throughout the course of the year. And it's like it's a loser-loser proposition, whereas this is a win-win proposition. And anytime you can make that happen, you know, of course you feel great about it, but there is an added benefit to society overall. So I'm just happy that we get to do things like this every now and then. And particularly, we're coming into November. We're coming into a moment where we take a little bit of pause, which we should be doing every day, but frankly...
Are you saying pause only because we're doing this interview?
Yeah, that's right. Pun intended. But in any event, you know, Veterans Day is around the corner.
Yes.
So this is just a great opportunity for us to reflect on the sacrifices that servicemen and women and their families have made for our security as a country. And it's exciting that we're going to be doing our Pets for Vets again with the help of Fifth Third on November 5th. And hopefully we'll have some more really fun, great success stories to talk about. It's a day really full of love. It sounds corny, but it's true. All of us feel better about being human beings when we walk out of that event. You feel great going into it, but there's nothing like how you feel when you leave because you know that you've made a difference with really not a ton of money, but it makes such a difference to those veterans who it's priceless. Really, it is. It's like a commercial. It's priceless that we could unite an animal that needs love and is a committed, great, it's not necessarily a pet, but, you know, a service animal, and a veteran, whether male or female, who is having difficulties that can be addressed by that service animal. And the bond that's created between those two is so unique, and it's so helpful to them, and I would say to society, right? Because when you have, like I said, on a financial standpoint, like anything we can do to avoid people going into the medical care facility if they don't need to, that's great. But it's also good to have really solidly functioning human beings who feel like they want to and can contribute to society, who don't need to stay holed up in their homes.
Well, Ralph
right?
is now.
Look at him. He's here doing this interview and speaking on behalf of so many other veterans. Like, your inspiration today, you're an inspiration to us, certainly, right? Because we can do this every day of the week. And for us, it's like, oh, I'm just tired. Do I really have to go to that interview?
Hey,
whereas for you, it's not with you, Steve. I'm so excited, of course. But, you know, like, you're thinking like, I've got to get out of the house today. There's all these things that we don't think about because we don't we're not burdened with that issue in our lives, but you are. So the fact that you're even here, yeah, and that little beef is sitting there, and it's a perfect interview, and that you're speaking on behalf of other folks who maybe haven't made it out of their home yet.
That's the
thing. Maybe you are what is going to inspire them to do it, to not be afraid to come out on November 5th to Anti-Cruelty Society, to join us over there and to say, if Ralph could do it, I can do it. I can do it. I want to do it. I need to do it. And it's that step that they need to start repairing and healing themselves.
And this will be an annual event, Andrew?
Yes, this is our second year participating in it.
And next year?
Well, I'll tell you, this has inspired, you know, the bank to want to do even more. This year, we've grown it, as far as the bank is concerned, to two other shelters in our footprint. Next year, we have an eye to doing 10 shelters or more because it's making such a difference. And I wanted to add to what Susanna was saying is it also inspires us that we each and every one of us can make a difference mm-hmm. in the life of another person. When I've talked to the shelters and I've gone into shelters who were unaware of this as a program and said, we want to do this with you, it inspired their board and their donors and their followers to say, hey, we can write a check for a dog and get it adopted to another veteran ourselves in our local community. So it really is inspiring new thought and other thought.
I have an idea
okay. That
I probably shouldn't say with the microphone on, but it's not the first time I've done something like that. I'm on the board of Treehouse Humane Society. No offense to the D word, dogs, but cats matter too.
Sure.
And I can speak for myself, but I'd be happy to bring it up to our board.
Awesome. Let's have
and let's have Treehouse be involved because sure. cats can be a part of this too.
I'm super allergic, but I'm
not
in
for
whatever I can do other than holding them because I am so allergic. I'll end up in the medical facility.
We don't
unless
want that
if I have beef there to help me out, I'm in trouble.
We don't want that to happen.
So let's get those cats adopted to you, right?
Yeah, right.
Andrew, I know a bit about Fifth Third Bank, and I know that this program aside, there's also a commitment to veterans.
Well, if I can just back it up a couple steps even further, in 1948, we were the first financial institution to open our own philanthropic foundation. So it really speaks to the culture of the company. It is truly about giving back to the communities that we serve. And so that it's reflected in everything that we do, including especially veterans. 5 years ago, we made a concerted effort to really put a strategy around it, making sure that what we were doing would be meaningful. And so to date, we've raised $500,000. It's funding scholarships for the families of soldiers wounded or lost in action. And there's a big gap for those families. The GI Bill covers the soldier. It does not transfer over to the family. And oftentimes when somebody comes back disabled or doesn't come back at all, it's incumbent on the wife or the spouse to really become the breadwinner for the family. And so they have to become retrained. So those scholarships are funding those educations, both college and trade school. We also started a year ago.
I want to stop you there because I don't want to slide by something so important as that.
It's huge.
Because Ralph, you tell me, you went into the military, but I would guess, because I've talked to other veterans who have said, really it's your whole family that serves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole family does serve. And
so to have that kind of support, which
means a lot.
Another topic for another show. The government doesn't provide that in America. But you are stepping up to at least do something for as many people as you can. And
absolutely.
That's amazing.
We're so grateful for the civil liberties that we enjoy at home. One thing I wanted to add to my conversation is we also started last year a hiring fair. The headlines and the news are veterans are coming back from service and they're unable to connect their military service to civilian employment.
True. Yes.
So we partnered with Career Builder. Last year we took over Union Station. We'll do so again on November 10th. And we've got 30 employers from the Chicagoland area, all who want to hire veterans and their families. This is holistic. And last year we had 300 veterans come, 11 got on-the-spot job offers.
Wow.
So for us as a bank, as a corporate citizen, that's impactful, right? 11 people walked into our event and left with a job.
Good. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Very good.
So, Ralph, are you working? I honestly...
No, I'm 100% service connected.
But what you're doing is...
I would like to work.
Well, you are.
I'm advocating.
Andrew and I are shaking our heads yes, yeah, and Susanna is now too.
I advocate.
You are working.
This is important.
I don't consider it a job, especially for the program I'm in. I'm giving back to them in a way that they gave to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when veterans come back now, are we getting better at it as a country? And I'll go back
compared
even...
Compared to Vietnam, yes.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
Are we as good as we should be?
I think it could be better.
Let me rephrase that.
There's a lot more things out there now for our troops coming home than there were for us coming home from Vietnam, other than ridicule.
Does it need to be better?
Well,
yes. Yes. And sticking with the program here... This is something that would benefit any combat veteran that has the issues that were mentioned before, the PTSD and TBI seizures and military sexual trauma, because part of it is you have to, it's a 50-50 thing here. You know, my service dog helps me, but also my treatments I go through help me. And to have that balance helps me make it through a day. I'm not saying I don't have my good days and bad days. I do. But when I have him, because I'm alone most of the time because mm-hmm. my wife works, my son works. So it's just Beef and I. And there's times where I've had crying sessions holding him. And it's just because something that I may have seen on television, not related to what I have done, which I can't really say, triggers me.
Yeah.
So then there goes my day. I got to rebound. And Beef has helped me to rebound a lot of times by just being like he is now in my lap, to where I can just pet him and hold him. And other times playing with him, roughhousing with him, going for walks. I talk to him when I go walking. I get weird looks. I don't care.
I think most dog owners talk to their dogs,
yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
it's,
not.
It's really amazing, though, that you know. It's hard for veterans like myself to take that step back into society again, and it's hard. For them, some of them don't even recognize the fact that they have PTSD.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Do you believe it's underdiagnosed?
Yeah. I do. And especially with our service members.
Now, the VA...
And that goes... And I'm going to say that all the way back through the World Wars, too.
Hmm.
You know, You know, it was never identified. My father had it. I come from an all-military family. So
it's interesting when you go to the VA website.
I go up to the James A. Lovell.
Right.
Where I live.
But when you go to their website online,
mm-hmm.
It was, I assume it still is, right there. The first thing you see is information about PTSD. So it's not mm-hmm. that they're... saying it's not real, and it's not that they're saying medically it's not real. They know, and they in theory want to help people with PTSD, but yet there's a disconnect, and they don't understand or believe or
that you have it.
Yes, or so they don't want to diagnose it, and they're doctors, and also then they don't want to go to the next level and say, okay, here's what you can do. And among the things you could do would be to get a dog.
Right, and see to answer that one question about PTSD, it used to be diagnosed as a personality disorder because, you know, I'll just say it. I got, with my PTSD, I got a bad mix because I have a bipolar affective disorder with a type 2 class B aggressive disorder, which is one where if I snap, somebody's going with me, and that's something I've learned
to deal with?
Deal with, and yeah, 4.5 years of anger management.
Does Beef help?
Oh, yeah.
Would you be in the studio now if it wasn't for Beef?
No.
Would you be out and about, walking around the city, doing the other things that you do, if it wasn't for beef?
No. If I were to come down here to the city, I'd be coming down here for a purpose to do whatever I have to do and get out. Just like up home, up north by the naval base where I live. I pick and choose my times. That's how I did it a lot. My wife and I would go to the mall. It'd be in the mornings just before we decide to have lunch. And then if I said, hey, we got to go, it's starting to get crowded, we're out of there. I would never be there more than 2 hours. But first day I got in, I said, I'm going to break a habit here. I took him over to the mall, and I remember what Alana said to me. Don't be afraid to sit down anywhere with your dog and just pet him. Call him to you with a special signal, and you just hold on to him until you relax, he relax, and you're ready to go finish what you're doing. So I took him over to Gurney Mills Mall, was there for 2 hours. It started to bother me a little bit. I sat down in one of those massage chairs, put him up in my lap, watched. Yeah, I'm not kidding you not. And I sat there people watching and just petting him until I said it was time for, okay, let's go. And we finished off, and we ended up spending 4 hour day there.
That's great.
And that was our first good one. Mm-hmm. And we've had quite a few others.
After hearing you talk, I almost don't need to ask this as we sort of wrap it up, Susanna. But this is so meaningful and changes lives. So someone goes away to serve our country. They come back a changed person. In some ways, as you point out, Ralph, for the better. But in some ways, if you're coming back with PTSD, that's not for the better. Not only is that person affected profoundly, but their entire family is. Mm-hmm. And then if you could find a prescription, which is the dog, that saves a dog's life, which is what War Dogs is all about, taking shelter dogs, and at the same time benefiting society, most importantly, benefiting that veteran.
It's a two-for-one. Yeah. It's a win-win
it's
situation.
A win-win again. Yeah, it's just awesome. I mean, you said it all. What can I add to that, right? Other than way to go, Steve.
Well, no, it's
yeah, it's perfect. That's really what we need to be doing, and we need to do more of it, and we need to be more thankful to our veterans. And on top of that, the whole PTSD thing, too, while I'm no doctor by any means, but I have a brother who's a police officer, and I think about this kind of stuff all the time. There's certain professions mm-hmm. where these guys see horrible things. It's not even healthy for them, potentially. They don't want to talk about him. Like, I know that he's probably seeing a whole other side of the world that he's trying to protect me from ever believing even exists. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so it's hard for even anyone in the military, I think, who does, let's say, who is going through an issue with PTSD to even admit that they have an issue, right? And it's not mm-hmm. just, you know, probably a military thing. It extends to other careers that deal with catastrophic situations. Mm-hmm. And even getting to the point where you acknowledge that you might need some help is probably the hardest part. It's the hardest step in the whole equation. And, you know, having Ralph here to talk about his experience, I think, is really so much more critical than anything that Andrew or I or any other public servant could do. It's really having the people that are going through it articulate how their life has changed for the better as a result of, first of all, admitting and acknowledging that they need help and being brave enough not to run into a war zone, but being brave enough when they come back to admit that they need help and asking for it. That is really the key to beginning the healing process. And there's policies and there's philanthropic efforts that can come together to help make the whole equation have a nice result. But at the end of the day, it all starts with the person who we're trying to help admitting that they actually need help. And that's a brave thing to do. It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah. Yeah, and you said what more needs to be said. Well, I think you just kind of did say it. You're running for state comptroller.
When I'm not running for my life. Yes.
it must be awfully difficult. I mean, I can't see how you cannot be elected. So I assume that'll happen. It must be difficult to follow a Judy Bartopinka, and it's just interesting to me that an animal lover will be doing that.
Nobody can follow her. She was unique.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Unique. And yeah, I don't know.
She had something called the Comptroller's Critters, I believe.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you going to do something similar to that?
You better believe it. Yeah.
I mean, is that a commitment?
Oh, for sure.
Now, you won't find that question
in the spot.
She's got a lot of spunk, Bob.
Yeah, you don't need to put me on the spot for that.
Judy had a lot of
spunk.
Judy had spunk. You're right about that.
When I met her, what was it, last year? The year before last, I think it was, yeah. At Veterans Day, she came in with... Mrs. Preckwinkle, yeah, thank you.
Sure.
And I met both of them, and that was really an honor to meet them. And she just loved him. I mean,
of course.
It was like.
So you're not supposed to pet a service dog.
She was probably like me, going, "I want to pet him.
However, I think Judy probably broke that rule.
No, she didn't.
Really?
Nope. Even Senator Durbin didn't break that rule. I stopped him from doing it. He tried to do it.
Wow. I won't even comment on that from a political perspective.
I said, sir, I'm sorry, you can't you can't pet my dog.
Andrew, I'm going to ask you sort of the final question here. I mean, I was pretty much, Ralph, nearly moved to tears by what you were saying, and I can't imagine people listening to this won't be. You are supporting Pets for Vets. You're supporting the entire program.
And we've sponsored eight
war
dogs. War dogs. So but every year we sponsor two different
but
dogs.
You can't sponsor every dog on the planet as good as...
You know, I want to inspire others to get involved.
That's
other companies can do exactly what we're
doing.
It
makes a difference.
Right? There's plenty for everybody to do and get involved. And I just want to inspire other companies and folks, you know, like Susanna who are running for office. We all have an opportunity to make this world a better place, right?
Exactly right. I can't say it better than that. Well, I thank Susanna and Andrew, and I do thank the both of you for coming in. This is a big deal, Ralph, I know, for you. And
I enjoyed it, actually. It's a different type of interview, that's for sure.
You rock.
That's what they all say about me. Thank you so very much for being
thank
here,
you
Ralph.
For having me.
And thank you for everything you've done. And when you get home, if you can give Beef a little extra piece of beef for me, that'd be great. Thank you very much, all of you.
Thank you.